Hello and welcome to the pre-season Exiled Eagles. Unlike the Palace squad, we haven't been able to remove any of our dead wood. So still with us is Ned down in Melbourne. Ned, how are you?
I'm feeling very free down here, Rob.
We're starting like that, are we? I was prepared to turn over a new leaf, but unfortunately for you, you come at that. So we start again. Mark, how are you, mate?
Also not appreciative of Ned's opening gambit for the season on the pod. Might be tied up up here at the moment, up in sunny Queensland. Had some return travels or students or someone get a hold of that nasty loogie, and we've all gone into lockdown until Sunday. So I've had to instigate my contingency plans like last lockdown, and long may that continue.
Mate, I've got don't even talk about that. I'm still working on getting the vaccine, but I think I'll probably get AstraZeneca. As you say, I've got a GP appointment next week. And Dale, down in the Shire, how are you, mate?
I'm good. Mark, just to let you know that one of my, an acquaintance, flew into Brisbane and tested positive for COVID, having had it in the UK and took it into hotel quarantine. So apologies on his behalf for ruining your life.
Oh, good. That's hearing similar news on the telly, mate. So he's one of many at the minute, but I appreciate the apology.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think this is probably the closest pods we've ever done. It's probably only about 5 weeks. So well done us for getting our asses in gear. And since we last podded, a fair few things have happened at Palace. We have a manager and we have some new players. We've released some players. But let's not talk about them because they're no longer Palace players and we don't care. So let's talk about the signings we've made, probably start with the manager. We'll touch on that. Patrick Vieira, the French and Arsenal legend, has come in. Not one I was too excited about or saw coming, I don't think, when this all started. But seeing what's happened since and, you know, with the people he's brought in and the talk around it, it's certainly growing on me. So, Dale, I mean, what are your thoughts on Vieira?
Not anyone's choice. I won't even say first choice, not anyone's choice. We didn't even think that he was available. He was busy doing punditry for the Euros. And I think when we last potted it, it came through that he was the second choice if Lucien Favre didn't happen. Look, he's done some good things at Nice. He's done some good things over in New York. He did some great things with the Man City Academy. We don't know how he's going to go in the Premiership. Everyone's big concern is this another Frank de Boer? I don't think it will be. The most important thing, I know we'll come on to it in a bit, is it's just great to see him being backed. There was a necessity because we had no players, but it's just great to see that we're not just settling for a 35-year-old pro from somewhere. We're really taking some strides forward, and by all accounts it looks quite positive. He wants to change the style of play and everyone appears to be buying into it, and I know it's only snippets you see on Facebook or YouTube and the training stuff, but everyone seems to be pretty down with it all. So yeah, it's good.
Nice. Marky Mark, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just thinking before the pod where we were at with Vieira last time, I think it was on the eve of him being confirmed, and I think I signed off with All Hail Patrick or something like that. So he's in, he's got the gig now, which is exciting. There's the obvious worry that it'll be De Boer 2.0. I don't think it'll be that bad. But yeah, with new manager comes his new ideas and philosophies and systems. Certainly looks like our youth will have a better look in than under Uncle Roy. Barring injury, none of them were really getting a shout. So I think we'll see more of that. 12 months on, we'll get to capitalise on our Cat 1 Academy now up and running. And so I think the wheels will start turning on that a little more. And Patrick's probably a good guy to have around to enable that or exploit some of the fruits of that labour on that front. So that'll be exciting to see. Yeah, new system. I think we're going 4-3-3 is the chat. I don't know that much about tactics in football, but I'm excited.
Positivity, like it, Mark, like it. All right, Ned, what, I mean, what's, you got any differing thoughts? What's your overall feelings towards Big Pat?
Oh, look, I think I covered it on the last pod in terms of, you know, it's one of those ones where, I think you could definitely do a lot worse. I think in terms of the pedigree that he's got, he's come from the right place. He's got the experience from a playing perspective, so he knows what it's like to sort of be on that stage. But, yeah, I mean, I think those people that are worrying about it being Frank de Boer, I think the thing with Frank de Boer was Frank de Boer came in and it was, I am going to change every single thing that you have ever done on a football pitch, and we're going to do it now from game one. We're not easing into it. You know, he said, I think he said evolution, not revolution, and then did the exact opposite. So I don't think, and from what I've seen so far, there's nothing to suggest that Vieira is going to go anywhere near going down that path. He's going to be all about, you know, he's, you know, yes, he's probably going to be a bit more attacking than Roy. I'm sure Rob will tell you that, you know, it's quite difficult to be less attacking than Roy. So I think, yeah, you know, that's obviously going to be the case, but I don't think he's going to go completely mental. And from, you know, it's some of the preseason games that I've seen and, you know, some of those highlights, yes, there's a little bit more sort of attacking flair and there's a bit more, it's a bit of encouragement for some players to get forward where perhaps they didn't have that before. But it's certainly not, you know, throw 11 men forward and hope for the best when the ball turns over. So I think, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think, you know, we've got some good, had some good signings and yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with and back all that positivity. Now, I'm not going to talk about Roy in the first pod of since he's left, so you guys can do that. But everything you said there, I agree with. I think...
sorry, can you just repeat that?
No. I think we have to put a line under the Frank de Boer thing. Yes, the only real comparisons to make is the fact that neither of them are English. And of those, like, firefighter managers, that's pretty much it. So it seems very different under Vieira, as Ned and Dale and Mark have all said. Like, players seem happier. We're not ripping up the rule book and starting from completely scratch from a different, completely different point of view. We're trying to embed people into the team to play a tactic and a style that Vieira wants, but it's not looking like it's going a million miles away, because it's going to take a while for that Roy stuff to come out of the players, because they've been so drilled. I think a lot of that went with a lot of the players that left. So, yeah, very exciting. And the pool, the Vieira name has already worked wonders, as you saw with Alf, with Michael Elise coming in. I do believe, and I think it's quite common knowledge that he wasn't interested. We were trying to get him in January and he wasn't interested in coming to us. But then all of a sudden, Vieira comes in June and bang, here he is. So I think that's a beautiful segue on to the signing. So we brought in like Remy Matthews, the third string goalkeeper. We've brought in Elise. We've brought in he said his name on the interview and I forgot. Is it Gahey? I think it's Gahey. Gahey. Yeah, Gahey. So Mark Gahey, Conor Gallagher, and Anderson as well.
Don't forget Jacob Montes.
Obviously, sorry, apologies, yeah. Jacob Montes, who's gone off on loan to Belgium. But apparently from things I'm hearing, he's quite highly rated. And I mean, that's like a, you know, a shot to nothing, really. He either is a very good player for us, we have a very good player, or he doesn't quite make it us and we make a bit of money on him. I don't think that's a pretty good deal all around, really. Lots of names being linked with us as well, like your Lookmans and your Reece Nelsons and all this type of stuff. I think, and to be honest with you, for the first time in a long time, I'd love to know what you guys think as well. I feel like we have a chance of getting these type of players as opposed to be just the name that they throw in there so West Ham can come and overbid for them. I think we generally have a chance of getting these. So we'll start with you, Ned. Which player has excited you the most by being brought in? And how do you feel? Do you think this is a Vieira thing? Is this a Dougie and Steve Parrish master plan thing? Is it a combination of all that? How are you feeling towards the signings that are coming in?
Look, I think in terms of signings, you know, you can't complain at all. I mean, we've obviously managed to offload a whole bunch of players that were on very high wages. And I think we've replaced already most of those players that were going to play with players that are at least of equal quality and will be on about a tenth of the wages, which is obviously what we want. I think, you know, it's good that, you know, you even look at the last, you know, you say, is it Vieira or is it Parrish and Dougie? It's probably a bit of a combination of both. I think, as you said, the pulling power of the Vieira name is definitely helpful in being able to get those targets. But I think, you know, as you said, people like Elise and also, you know, having gone back, you know, if you go back 12 months, you know, we picked up Izzy Ferguson, you know, and the likes of those players. Like, they were the sorts of players, obviously, we're looking at. But, you know, if you're a Premier League side, you know, the best player in the best young players in the Championship, they're the ones that everyone in the Premier League is looking at going, yeah, right, we'll take them. We know they can deal with the physicality of English football. We know they've got potential. They're the sorts of players we want. And it's good that I think so, you know, you can now look at it and go, well, potentially in the last 2 years, we've signed arguably, you know, one of, I know he hasn't played yet, but arguably one of the best young defenders from that league in Ferguson. Then we got Eze, who was one of the most exciting players, and then we've gone and done the same thing again with Elise. So I think you're looking at that going, that direction is where we want to go. The senior coach at the men's senior coach at the club, at my club, is a massive Fulham fan, and he's, you know, absolute, just complete football brain. And he was raving about Joachim Andersen. So that looks another good signing. Yeah, I think so far, you know, and then sort of throw in something like a Gallagher, which was that every time you sort of say, oh, look, this is the area that we need improvement, 2 days later, we suddenly end up with a signing in it, which is very un-Palace-like. They're all being done, all the business being done early. Yeah, no complaints here. It's been great.
Mm. What about you, Dale?
How's it going for you? The signings are good. It's what we wanted. The brief was simple. Slash the wage bill, slash the age. Take out Remy Matthews, the oldest player we've signed, Joachim Andersen at 25, which is great. Some good experience. Played well enough last season to get himself into the Danish squad for the Euros and, you know, was kept out by some good players. So, you know, we know he's got a bit of Premier League nous about him. But I will just caveat that with Andersen, with he was at Lyon at a time when Lyon weren't great, having been the best team, having been traditionally as good as they have been, and he got let go. And I think prior to that, he went on loan to Sampdoria, maybe, I think it was, and wasn't overly great. But, you know, you'll take what he's most recently done as an example of what he can do, and he's done it in the Premier League, so superb. Gihi, how do you say it? I'm starting to struggle already.
I think it was Gihi. Yeah.
It's interesting. Like, one of my mates said to me, oh, he's a Liverpool fan. You mock Sheffield United for paying 25 million for Brewster, who scored one in two at Swansea, but when Palace signed someone from there, it's okay. And I was like, well, it's different. We're not pinning our hopes on him being our saviour and scoring the goal to keep us up. Plus, he's got a bit more pedigree about him by how much he's done, how highly rated he is at Chelsea, what he's done in the under-21s, and what he's done at Swansea. The rest of the signings, Elise, as Ned said, you know, getting arguably one of the best players in the division, Conor Gallagher, we know how good he is. Remy Matthews, whatever, I mean, he's not going to play unless there's a crisis, so who cares? Apparently he was shit anyway last year, but I don't care. So it's good. And look, we just have to wait and see what else comes our way. I think we are arguably short a striker, potentially a winger, potentially one more centre-mid, maybe. But let's wait and see.
Are you, Marky Mark?
Yeah, I think the business has been great that we've done. Obviously, a lot of players off contract, which brought about some trepidation with those voids being filled. That trepidation brought about by, you know, a lot of inactivity in transfer windows in seasons gone by. But obviously, you know, it wasn't like they woke up the day before all those contracts expired. Steve and co have had wheels in motion for a while now, and it's kind of all slotting in together nicely. The signings are great. I think what we've paid for them, we've got good value there. I don't think we've paid overs necessarily. You know, you're going to pay around $20 million for top of the crop out of the championship, which seems to be about par. And like Ned said, we look like we've got, you know, just about the top guns for the last couple of seasons out of there. So that's exciting. One day Ferguson will be fit and may even play for us. Could possibly be the team we sell him to, but that'll happen one day. And let's not forget, we got Jacques back. His loan's finished, so he's back at the club. Very exciting.
I'm going to assume that you didn't watch too much of that preseason friendly then, Mark.
My minutes of watching preseason friendlies currently stand at zero.
Well, I think Yak's minutes of watching preseason friendlies is also at zero when he was on the pitch for a bit of it. So
I saw the highlights, so I saw enough.
That's a worry. But
I will say about one of the players we released, which is quite funny, obviously Patrick Van Aanholt, obviously probably left because he wanted to go on to bigger and better things and wanted to play in the Champions League. So joined Galatasaray, who probably got knocked out in the Champions League qualifying stages. So unlucky Pat.
Was it from a goal down the opposition right hand side though?
Well, probably, but I doubt he would have been playing because he's then just back from international duty. Yeah. But still, doesn't matter. Good on him.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, I mean, I think you're all absolutely right. I don't think there could be any complaints from any Palace fans from what we've done this window. I'm a big fan that Mark and Steve are on first name terms, with Mark calling him Steve instead of Sir Parish or Stevie P, or as I call him, Babe. There was obviously a plan. The plan was in place and they started it last year with Eze and it's again, and Ferguson, and it's carrying on and it's looking really good. I mean, I'd say the signing that excites me the most is actually Joachim Andersen, because he's that slightly that age group, a little bit older, 25, international experience. And why you say, Dale, like, you know, he didn't play for Lyon. I was reading something on Twitter, which obviously means it was true, as we all know in this pod.
Yep.
And it was exactly, but it was coming from a guy that knows what we're talking about, the guy that actually knows Steve Parish, and who's a big Roma fan. And he tweeted like 3 years ago when Andersen, I think he left from Sampdoria to go to Lyon. I think they bought him from Lyon for about 25 mil. And at the time, I think Lyon thought he lacked a yard of pace and they were winning at the time. So he didn't get into that team. But he's got everything else. So if he lacks a yard of pace, you've got Gahey there, you've got Mitchell there, Klein will probably re-sign and then Ferguson will come back.
It's common knowledge, but I think he has re-signed, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, so we're just waiting for the official confirmation, but yeah. So we've got guys that can cover that, but we saw how good he was at Fulham last year. Similar to Ned, I've got a mate that's a Spurs fan that really knows his stuff, used to be a journo. And he was desperate for Spurs to sign Andersen. He's gutted that they didn't, because obviously he said
that's a weird one. If I was Spurs, doing what the business they're doing at the moment, they're spending $40 million on defenders out of Italy when they could have got Joachim Andersen. That's an odd one. And now they're talking about getting Connor Cody. I know who I'd rather.
Oh, exactly. But apparently that bloke that they got, that Romero, I don't know anything about him, but apparently he's something special. But I don't know. I can't claim to know who he is or anything about him, because I've never seen him play or heard of him. So Dale, you touched on it briefly there. I mean, I'll kind of say what else I think we need, and then we'll just jump to Mark and Ned quickly. Like, we don't need to spend too long. I think you're right there. I think we're short of an attacker, someone that can play wide or up front, kind of similar to IU, but just better, which is why I'd say we... Don't you look at me like that, Quarty. Don't you look at me like that. So which is why I guess we're looking at someone like a Lookman or a Reece Nelson, someone that can play wide, and then that could release Wilf potentially to play in the middle or something. I mean, I read an absolute rubbish article that Vieira's looking to potentially end Mateta's loan deal early, but that's not happening. And I think a fullback, someone that can play on the right and left. I know they're very, very rare, right? But I do think we need another fullback in there. Central midfield, I'm not worried about. I think we've got enough cover with players. You've got Jairo, you've got Luka, you've got Kiyate.
J-Mac, come back.
Yeah, exactly. Macca as well. So Schlupp can play in there. So I'm not particularly worried about the central midfield. The wider areas I think we need as well. Mark, can you think of anywhere else that you would like to see anyone extra in?
A bit up top. Like Dale said, I think I may have put too many eggs in the Mateta basket from what I'm hearing. He really let us down the garden path of that superb bloody back heel double nutmeg, beat Brighton business. Or at least, yeah, equalising Mateta's one. But a bit up top. Midfield looks good. Defence is shaping up. That's probably only it. You know, for me, I don't know who necessarily. I don't know who's available far and wide or who may slot in. But I think Christian will certainly have a far better season or continue the form that he finished in last season. Mateta's a bit of a worry. Wilf will obviously chime in there. Hopefully Mateta comes good man and starts getting a few, and I'd like to see Schlupp get his finishes a bit better and get back on the score sheet as well.
Yep. Ned, anything for you to add there, or are you?
Yeah, I think the only thing that we really need at the moment is just that bit of depth. I think at the moment we've sort of set ourselves so that we've got, you know, a decent lineup. But we probably have lost a bit of the depth that we had last year, mostly because we had about 3 million a week on the subs bench. But it'd be good to sort of, I mean, as you say, Mateta has not looked great. I think Roy might have done us a favour there by not playing him and making us obligated to buy him. So I think, having said that, he was improved in the last friendly that we played from the friendlies before, but that wasn't all that challenging. I think in terms of that forward area, if you know, I think that's also probably the area that if we do have to look to the academy, that's probably where we've got the most depth and the most likely kids that are going to come through and make a bit of a difference. So, you know, like your Raksakis, you know, Scott Banks has been banging them in pre-season. You'd want to, Graham Arnold's potentially given us a, you know, you want Benteke's backup player.
Sure, shut up.
By throwing Joe Richbigelu up top in the Olympics, very unsuccessfully. But I think the main thing we need is depth. And if the right player happens to come up who's going to add more than depth, I think we're in a position where potentially we can go, yeah, all right, we'll take it. Obviously, that all changes completely if someone comes in inexplicably with a bid for Wilf. But as is at the moment, yeah, I think it's just about getting some more of those players that have got a bit of experience and are able to add something to the team once we hit those winter months and everyone starts getting injured.
So on that point, Ned, I saw that we were monitoring the situation with Will Hughes, for example, right?
Yeah.
To me, superb. I've got no issue with that if, as long as he knows he's coming in on whatever salary and he will start some games, he will be in the bench for most games. And if he's happy with that, that's a guy who's gone up and down a Premier League Championship. He can do a job, and that's the sort of cover we need. And for me, yeah, he's an upgrade on James McCarthy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think that's as I say, I think if we can get a few more players like that. If you're looking potentially even at your fullback areas, was probably, if anything happens to our starting fullbacks, we're probably looking a little bit light. Up top depends on how we want to shape it. I mean, if you lose Benteke, there's no point trying to sign a second player like Benteke. Because they're just not really out there, or if they are, they're absolutely terrible than the ones that are in our price range. I think it's just a case of
get that depth in so that we're good to go.
Agreed. I mean, I think that we just, I think we should all kind of temper out. Like, Rakseki looks fantastic. I mean, he's looked very, very good in preseason. Omelabu, who obviously has had he's a finisher, he's a poacher, he's incredible in the box. Banks has looked good this preseason, but I just think we need to temper a little bit, putting all this pressure on these youngsters. I know we're going to see them.
No, they're all scoring 20 this year.
Okay, cool.
We're winning the Premier League.
Well done, brilliant. There's your wild prediction. We've got it there from Ned. But yeah, I think that squad depth does need to be there a bit, and I would like to see someone else coming up top as well. But I think you all made good points. Well done, team. Well done. Right, so now we're going to get to everyone's favourite part, and that's our pre-season predictions, as proven 5 weeks ago. I know what I'm talking about. Ned, okay. Dale, Mark. Let's go. So we'll start with, because we've got some in from our listeners as well, so we can include them. Where are we finishing this?
We season? Have listeners.
No. Got some predictions from a listener.
No. We've got several. I've got a little dossier for you.
Really? Oh, really?
At the end of predictions. There's at least half a dozen people who've sent some predictions in. So
this is exciting. I listen 75 times to make our numbers really go up. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
All right. Well, let's start with Mark this time. I mean. I think we're going to set the bar low first and kind of go up. So, Marky Mark.
They'll just copy us if we go first, Rob.
Huh?
They'll just copy us if we go first.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want that. And the integrity of this is very, very important to everyone.
Of course. Yeah.
So, Mark, where are we finishing this season?
Well, mate, I want to start by saying, Ned, are you going to trundle out a friend of the show and London-based correspondent, Jane Howland's predictions out?
I think we might go through our predictions first, and then I'll.
But has been covered? Has it been covered?
Oh yeah, everyone's been covered. Okay, when I said we had half a dozen, I didn't mean like we had enough that I could leave some out. Okay, I meant that we've got enough to sort of build. We've got enough to build some content, not enough to sort of pick and choose.
I just want to clarify that, because I've changed a few of mine, because he's absolutely picked my pocket with a couple of his predictions. I'll leave you to work out which ones they might be when Ned reads them out. So position-wise, I think we'll start off with that, Rob.
Where are we going to finish? Where are we
finishing? Position, not much rocking and or rolling, I feel. I think finished 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Goals... hard to go past Wilfred Zaha. I think he's going to be our top scorer this season with 17 goals.
There's always one when you go. Like last year, you're going to finish eighth and Connor Wickham's going to bag 50. And this year, you smash it.
No, I mean, in fairness, of the two things you've said so far, Mark, they're not ridiculous. I mean, he's probably not getting 17, but they're not. Compared to last year,
you haven't even let me show him.
You're going well so far.
It's not working.
So he's getting on. What's he, 27 odd now? So I think this is his last decent shot window of the season.
I thought you were saying you'd write him off.
He's gonna fucking light up, mate. Get 17. So it's as simple as that. Dale's laughing. Dale's fucking a couple of bottles in red or Pinot Noir or Shiraz. What is it, mate? Your neck in there? Capsule?
Pinot, wait. Little Pinot.
Pinot, nice one. Wolf with 17 goals with a leg in the air. Assist, Gallagher. I think he looks real quality and he's done nothing to disprove that so far. Getting a good rap off the lads. Do you want an amount of assists that he's getting?
Love it.
Right, so Wolf's getting 17 goals. Connor's getting 21 assists.
21.
Premier League record. He's heading for Premier League record territory.
I've just realised it says booster of the season. It's Bolter. That's supposed to be Bolter of the season.
I wondered what you were. I thought you'd been on the drink there, mate, when I read that.
Yeah, so I was taking it. I'm not going to lie. I was taking a dump type in this and I didn't check it.
All right. So my booster/Bolter, not so much Bolter. I would probably pencil it as more breakout season, but Tarek Mitchell, I reckon he's. He's really going to come to the fore and make that position his own. And yeah, really hit his straps this season. I reckon he's going to really cement his spot, and yeah, I reckon he'll be the local lad come good. Worst for the season, a couple of these I've changed because of James, but we'll get to that. I'll put in J-Mac. I think the wheels are going to fall off.
Okay.
I love the guy. I love him a bit. But I don't know, just gut feeling. And probably my second, you know, pick. I won't go along. First one was. And then we've got our one out the clouds. Big call, if you will. I'm going to put in minor one, and then I'm going to put in my main one. So I think Luca won't be with us at season's end. I think he'll go on the next window. And so my big one out the clouds, and you know, you laughed at 21 assists and 17 goals. Well, get your head around this. I reckon in the League Cup quarterfinal in injury time, Paddy, Big Pat, I think you called him earlier, Rob, is going to bring on Rich J. Bagaloo in injury time, 3-3, last kick of the game. He snicks it at the far post, heads it in, 4-3. We go through to the semis and lose to Burra.
Lose to Burra. I mean, if you're going that specific, I mean, are you at least going to tell us who we're beating 4-3 in this game?
Oh, it was Newport County. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, all right.
You told me that most of that won't play out. Oh, go on.
I would never. I wouldn't dare. After the results of last season, I would never dare doubt.
I mean, I heard you read that on Twitter, Mark.
No, I've never even been on Twitter, mate. Oddly enough, which must
that explains your predictions last year.
If you've been on Twitter, you'd have not put that anyway. All right, we'll move on. We'll move on to Dale, as Ned rightly said. Me and Ned are the reigning champions, so we don't want to be copied. Dale, same questions to you.
All right, so we're going to finish 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Top goal scorer is going to be Christian Benteke.
Oh, I like it.
Most assists will be whoever plays on the wing and crosses the ball to Benteke.
We need a name.
You're going to need a name on that, Dale.
Let's go with... let's just go with Elise. I can't even think he's going to play on the wing, so we'll just go with Elise.
So I'm pretty sure that you'll then say Elise is going to be the worst player of the season, judging by what happened in your previous predictions.
In fairness, at least you've managed to narrow these down to just the one name so far this year, as opposed to last year when you managed to get all seven of them wrong.
Player of the season, I am going to go with Gallagher. I just think he's going to be an absolute machine for us. Big cool is that it was going to be what Tony said, so I won't steal that thunder. So I'm thinking on my feet here, and I'm going to say that Wilfried Zaha will not score more than 6 goals or get more than 6 assists. That's my big cool.
My dad's been drinking.
In the
advanced metrics, he'll be the pass before the assist. That's who he will be. So not saying he's going to be bad. Our worst player this season will be... this is really difficult. We don't have an obvious calamity clown anymore.
Yep.
God. I'll just go with Mateta because he's going to have to play some games. I don't think he's going to do anything. Our best player is going to be Mark Gehi. Him.
Oh, man.
Here we go. He's off. He's starting. Here he goes.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
I do want to give a big shout out to... I think that we will see something good from Jeshan Raksaki this year. I think he will play some games, and I think people will take note of this kid. And I also believe that we might get to a situation where we have to play him. He will come off the bench. He will do stuff. He'll have appearances in the cup or whatever. And we will just go, Jesus, we have to find a place for this kid. So that's the other one.
You think Amalabu might get a run in the first term at all day this season?
Who, sorry?
Amalabu.
I don't know. He's 18. He looks very good. The stuff I've seen of him, he just does look a little bit raw still. And I think to expect someone like that to come in and light up the Premier or do anything in the Premier League, they have to be different class as a striker. You know, they have to be scoring 50 goals in 25 games. You know, I don't know if he's there yet. He's a small lad as well. So I don't know. I just don't think he's quite ready.
No.
I would love to see it though. I would love to see it, but I love to be proven wrong. And I generally am proven wrong. So there we go.
Just to confirm, so 18-year-old Raksaki, fine. 18-year-old Omalavu, no good.
No, yeah, Ned, that's not fair.
No, it's not, but I'm never fair. I'm never fair, Dale. So, I mean, if I was fair, it wouldn't be fun, mate.
Yeah, that's not fair. You know what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, carry on.
Ned, you won, so I'll go next. So, we'll kind of go in reverse. So, I will also go for 14th. I think there's another season of stabilization because there's been a lot of change. So 14th would be, I'd be more than happy with that. Let's stay up. But I also throw in there that I'll be a lot happier generally about it all, about the style of football, shall we say. So 14th, top goal scorer. I'm going to go with Dale here. I think it's going to be Big Ben. I don't think we're bringing in another number one striker. He's our number one striker. And if he carries on playing, they did towards the end of last season, I reckon we could get close to his output for his first season with us. So close to that 17 mark again for Benteke. I'm not going to say Wilf's going to get 17 though. Most assists, I'm going to go Elise as well. I believe he put in the most crosses in the Championship last season. And we have one of the best headers of the ball in the Premier League who we didn't want to cross to last ever. And now all of a sudden we've got a guy that loves to cross. So hopefully this manager puts two and two together and comes up with four and crosses the ball to the big bloke. So I'm going to go with Elise. Bolter of the season. It is a tough one. So or we can go breakout of the season. I'm going to say Elise as well. I think he's going to come right in. I think he's tailor-made for kind of the... We've got players that are comfortable on the ball now. We've got he's another one that can make use of the space that Wilf get him. It's just a shame that Eze is going to be injured because those three together, I think, would cause absolute carnage because you can't mark all of them out of the game. So it would have been Eze, but unfortunately, but I reckon Elise is going to be up there. Worst player of the season. And as this is a tough thing, normally there was the last couple of years, there's a plethora. PVA, Scotty Dan getting old.
Sacco.
Can't hear anything.
That's not fair. No. Talking about not fair.
Not even fair. An absolute disgrace. I mean, I'm going to call the police on for that. I mean, that's awful thing to say.
You can get Sacco arrested for impersonating a footballer.
Oh my God, it's getting worse. I mean, we're recording this, so you're in trouble. This is all my evidence. I don't even need a lawyer. I've just got the image right here. Mateta. If and when he plays, I just don't think he's going to be up to the level that we want him to be up to. So it's harsh. I was going to go Mateta because I just can't give it to IU again. I feel bad. But he was very close. So my big call, a lot of my big calls have been taken by previous people or stuff that's come in. So I've got a couple. First big call is if we have a national meet, Dale is there.
Who's been drinking now then?
That's it. Because of when we want to do it. Is it big call? Big
mate, call. Unless it's at the Prince Hotel in Kirrawee, you got no chance.
I'm just putting pressure on. That's all I'm doing. Just putting the pressure on. And second big call is we make the semi-final of the FA Cup.
Ooh.
Don't win it. Don't think we win it. We make the semi-final of the Cup.
Yeah, would you a cup run? Take that.
Yeah. No, fair enough. All right. I guess that's on to me then.
Go on, Ned.
Right, well, I'll start with league position. I'm going to bring back the old classic. We're going to finish 12th on goal difference. Because, you know.
How many goals behind?
Sorry?
How many goals are going to cost us 11th?
Oh, no, no, no. Our goals are going to get us away from 13th.
13th, okay. So how many?
Well, I mean, it'll be six.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy one, but, you know, thanks for trying to test me there, Dan. But, I mean, obviously, that's a straightforward question. Top goal scorer, I think it's got to be, I'm going to go with the majority and go with Big Ben, Christian Benteke. He's going to just net himself the 15 goals this year, of which seven of those are going to be assisted by Olise, who will be our top assister. I'm being way too confident with all of this. This is going to look really bad at the end of the season.
I hope not, because that means I'm really wrong as well.
Yeah, I know. This is what's concerning me, is the fact that the people who usually come up with the silly predictions come up with things I agree with, which scares me completely. What have we got left? Worst player of the season. Can't believe no one's backed him in for the hat trick. I mean, Mateta's definitely going to be up there, but I'm just going to go Old Faithful. He's got me through the last 2 years, Luka Milivojevic. I saw Dale's eyes just sort of start to panic there as he thought I was going to say Jordan Ayew, but it's all good. You're actually going to like my big call, Dale. I think you're going to love my big call. But I guess bolter of the season sort of almost ties in with my big call a little bit. I don't know if you can call it a bolter, but I think he's going to be significantly better than we expected. And I'm going to go with Jeff Schluck as our surprise packet, much to Dale's delight.
The only Premier League winner in our squad. Exactly. So maybe he's not a surprise package.
Well, I think I'm going to put that out there. But so, yeah, so that takes me to my my big call. I'm going to put on a three-leg multi for my big call. Rob has partially taken one of them, which was that we're going to make the semi-final of A Cup. I'm not going to be as specific, but so we're going to make the semi-final of A Cup. Our third highest scorer behind Wilf and Benteke, and comfortably so, is going to be my bolter of the season, Jeffrey Schlupp.
Oh, right.
And old mate, and just to throw in another ridiculous bit to it, and because Rob said don't put pressure on the kids, Jezran Rucksacki, across all competitions, is going to score at least 5 goals.
I mean, he can bang them in that, what's it called? The Papa
senior.
John's.
Senior, Papa John's, yeah. 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 Clarify, senior.
Pepperoni
senior.
With extra
senior goals.
Tomatoes.
For the first team. For the first team.
Okay. Well,
yeah. We're not counting the 23s in the Papa John's pizza cup. Against, okay. The only time we're playing Newport County that's going to count for Jezran Rucksacki is when we knock him out 4-3 in the quarterfinal of the cup, as per Mark's prediction.
He might have got those first three.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
On a hattie. Then Big Rich finishes the job.
There we go. Done. Perfect. So that's that settled. I guess I'll head across and throw at some of our listeners. Our listeners. So we've got coming through on the Facebook pages. So a lot of stuff that we've got here. I'll go through.
Anyone from Adelaide get in touch, Ned?
it's going to shock you. It's going to shock you, Mark. But I don't think there was. No. Which was a bit of a shock. So in terms of league positions, I'll just go through Facebook first, then we'll jump into WhatsApp. So we've got Vince Flynn, who has thrown in his suggestion. So he thinks 16th. Wilf's going to get most assists, and he's going with Benteke as our top scorer, 22 goals. So even bolder than any of us were able to go. So hopefully Vince is on the money. definitely would be very happy with 22 goals from Big Ben Teke. I've also got, I think, so Ross Phillips has said 17, which is, you know, we'll take your negativity elsewhere, please, Ross. Jay Hambly, 13th. Jeremy Williams, 12th. Chris Moss, 15th. These are our listeners, Dale. So if you'd be a bit more appreciative of them.
I thought it was our respective wives, girlfriends, and ourselves.
Well, they're obviously listening as well, but we have a few more.
My wife couldn't care any less.
We've also got so Ben Teke, a couple more for tips for Ben Teke to be our top scorer. So Raj in Melbourne's got him at 15, got him with 15 as our top scorer. Jay had him with 16. Chris has put a caveat on his 15th, a dodgy start first, and then recovering to 15th. And a big call from Raj of Palace to be taken over by some rich foreigners at some point. as a big call.
Have we pointed out to Raj that one of our owners is currently one of the richest men to own a football club ever?
Let's just clarify here, Dale. He didn't say that we weren't already owned by them. He said they were going to be taken over by some rich foreigners. It doesn't mean that, you know, one rich foreigner can take over from another rich foreigner.
Okay. So
there was no mention there.
What qualifies as a foreigner to Raj? Is it foreign to Raj or foreign to English?
I'm not going to speak for other people there, Mark.
Uh-huh.
People make their own predictions. So we'll head across. We'll get to Shawnee Robb's predictions again. Christian Benteke to come good finally as top scorer. Gallagher is going to be classed this season apparently for our most assists. Player of the season, Tyrick Mitchell, and he's going to be better than AWB.
There you go.
Is a big bold one, but he's followed that up by going, we're going to finish 17th. Back to the roller coaster days. Last game of the season, beat United 3-2 to stay up and cost them the league, which is good.
Like it.
Yeah. Patrick Vieira out November 7th after the loss to Wolves, apparently. he's gone for a biggest sulker award, which is going to be a tie between Wilf and Ayu. So just to really throw Dale into a conundrum there. But he's going to give it to Wilf. This will be the season that he realises there's better youngsters at the club than him, apparently. One final one from Shawnee. Kouyaté to get the most bookings, carry on from his pre-season sending off. Apparently, he's shite and will get found out even more this season, which is a bold one.
Positivity from Mr. Rob there. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. And just a couple of fun ones from him as well. Chances of the national meetup in Adelaide happening, he has rated it at a whopping 0%.
Hold on, it's in Adelaide.
Yep.
Absolutely no chance it's got me. I think I've told you about my Adelaide issues before. I'm not going there again.
What's your problem with Adelaide, just quickly?
I was outside a nightclub, and it wasn't that late. It was actually pretty early. And a girl walked straight up to me and tried to bite my arm and went, and her mate ran up and stopped her and apologised, saying she'd just taken ice, and the girl said, but he looks like chocolate, and tried to lick me.
Wow.
I'm not going back.
Nice. You have done that before, actually, so that's right. Yeah. We'll give you a pass on that one.
Okay, fair enough. And he's also put a five-digit number on the amount of inappropriate material placed in the other WhatsApp group by Paul Shelley. I think that one's probably guaranteed.
That's just a weekly thing. By Wednesday, we're at that number.
Thank you to Shawnee there for those ones. And I guess our last two good friends of the show, we've got James Howland and Tony King.
One-time host of this.
Yes, one-time host. Parish.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember him.
So who do we want to go with first? Any preferences?
Let's go TK and then finish with our international correspondent and star of when Eagles Dare.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's very true.
Very true.
Published, so, best-selling published author as well.
Yes, yes. No, this is true.
Disgruntled fan number 27 out front of the banks. Great.
So Tony's been, he hasn't given us a whole lot of detail with his predictions, but he's gone leading scorer, Wilf. Assists, Connor Gallagher. Player of the year, Connor Gallagher. Position 16th. And there's his big call that Lucien Favre will be our manager at the end of the season, which is quite a big call. So they're good. And finally, James Howland with our last set of predictions. Similarly to a couple that we had so far, we'll start the season badly. Everyone on socials will shit their pants. Before we recover and finish in a similar position to the last two seasons, three seasons, however many there are. Eze to have little to no impact, but to score two worldies in the last two games. I mean, that's probably fair, given that he's probably not going to play a whole lot until then. Elise, I assume is who he means by Reading bloke, to be hot and cold. Who he then manages to work out who Elise is for his next point, but that's mostly just to slag off Dale by suggesting that Dale will say that he is better than Zaha before Christmas and then backtrack and say that he meant potentially. Zaha to finish as our top scorer. Brighton to go down. Obviously, you've got to love that one. And Nathan Ferguson to finally make his debut in March.
There you go. Comprehensive spiel on how the season's going to pan out.
Correct. So now we've got all of your opinions and thoughts. So now it's not just us that look really silly at the end of the season.
I just want to add something quickly before we move on, Rob. My little Aussie battler for the season.
Season
coming. Your friend and mine, family favourite. I think, John Ward's going to do it again. He's going to get back to back. And
back to back, wouldn't it?
I think so. I didn't want to go that far. Otherwise, I'd look a bit favourous to
the last 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to say,
yeah,
it's almost should be called the Joel Ward with Aussie Butler Award.
I think we call it the Joel Ward Award.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
It just takes a little Aussie Butler connotation out of it, doesn't it?
Well, how about we go for the Joel Ward Award for little Aussie for being a little Aussie Butler? That's it. I mean, we're not buying trophies here, Mark, so it's fine. We can make them as long as we want.
Whatever we call it, Ward's winning it.
All right, fair enough.
That's it. Well, there's a prediction, so I'm looking forward to picking up my winnings at the end of the season, which is good. I suppose it'll be remiss of us to not mention two things. Firstly, we'll just kind of gloss over it very quickly, but Marky Mark, Scotty Guyatt, the strength and conditioning coach at Paddy's for the past 450 years, that's overseen such wonderful recoveries such as Connor Wickham, Mama Sacco, and Jeff Schlupp, and all the long-term injuries that we seem to get on the training pitch, has unfortunately moved on to join your Brisbane Roar. So best of luck getting a team out next season, mate.
That's it, mate. Yeah. So anyone at the club sporting glass legs is in for a treat. Scotty's in town, so we can have a look at them for him. This one got by me, mate. I'm really just focusing on Olympics the last, whenever it started, 10 days. So, but I did have a friend of the show. Richard gave me a shout last night. I had a bit of a bo peep. And yeah, he's headed to the Roar for a couple of reasons, a few personal reasons that have brought him here. But mate, look, anyone from a Premier League team coming to my little old Brisbane Roar is very welcome. More so if it's someone from Palace. So great.
And most importantly, Mark, obviously the token question, as soon as anyone from Palace is linked to anywhere close to any of us, when are you getting him on the pod?
I was just going to say, hopefully I can hoodwink him on the sidelines or by the tunnel or something. After I'm completely wankered and might see if I can get him on the pod. I would generally try and get him on the pod. I was in touch with a Raw media type person there when Palace were coming to town for their tour. So I have had chats with people there. So it might happen. Him or Miranda Speroni or who are we getting? Clint Morrison for the last 18 months. So let's hope one of those three pan out. But I will try. But that's, yeah, that is exciting news, Robert. Absolutely. So, yeah, happy beds in well here and had a good time at the Raw. Hopefully, we don't give him too much work to do, as in with injuries, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, he's resided over a very successful time at Palace. I forgot to add in the recovery of Nathan Ferguson, instrumental in that as well. So
look at him go. And can I say quickly, I mean this in absolute earnest, I don't even know what fucking position that guy plays. Apart from keeper, I know he doesn't. Wouldn't have a clue. What position does he play?
He's a right back. We've signed him as a right back.
Right back or centre back.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, and last thing we'll touch on, it came out yesterday, so the annual kit meltdown has happened. what do we think of the three kits? I've got to work out which one to get my kids for Christmas. I'm not sure. I'm thinking they've got a couple of homes, so I'm gonna get them the way or the third shirt. But what were you thinking of me? I think they're all right. You know, right. I don't mind any of them. So right.
The home kit's red and blue. What's the issue? Like, it's got it essentially. I don't know this for a fact, but it looks like it pays homage to a sash by having it on the angle. It looks good. I think it looks great. I think it looks fine. The away kit, the yellow one, I really like it. I think it's nice. I like the colours, like the vibrancy. I love the fact they've got the eagle embroidered into the shirt. Kia's got it, and as you said, Rob, that kid's got more Palace shirts than Palace itself. And it looks good. And I mean, I am in absolute love with the third kit. And you know, yeah, full disclosure, the football club I used to play for, our colours were basically that, but with a pink trim instead of the black that Palace have. But I think it's beautiful, and I would just say this. I think whoever is in charge of doing our kit designs, the release of them, and the way we're engaging, like this one, I know I put the thing out a bit of a joke, like who's Nan Pam, but I just loved the fact that we've involved her in this. Parrish has seen something on Twitter, he's got her involved, and you don't win any prizes for it, apart from it just builds fandom, right? It just... Yeah. It just builds fandom. And I think that as a club, and as the documentary has just shown, we've gone through a heck of a lot, right? And it's just nice to think that we do remember the people who are out there on the street who do it tough and go to the matches. And I don't want to besmirch United or City or Liverpool or Chelsea, but I can guarantee you a lot of that is lost because of who owns them. And I think that we just need to remember the little homage we pay to the fans, the putting the years on the shirt, putting the original picture of the Crystal Palace in there and that sort of stuff. Just brilliant. Really love them.
No, that's a good point. That's very well said. Very well said. And yeah, the connection is there. I feel like it's going to be very important in the next couple of years with everything that's gone on to have that connection to the fans and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see. Marky Mark, you buying all three as always?
Yeah, well, I didn't get any last season. I was keen on the third.
You're not a good fan then, are you? I mean, you've been a
well, I've got one here.
You don't go to games, you don't buy the shirt.
Plastic.
That's yep. It. That's it.
Commutes to games are a trifle bit hard, even before COVID hit, Rob, I'll be honest. If you've ever tried to get a fucking Uber to Sellers Park from Brisbane, good luck.
I've got an Uber from Sydney to Central Coast once. The wife still don't know about that.
Cannot get there by car. I didn't get any last season. I was going to get the third, I think, if it was available at the end for like 20 quid or whatever, and it wasn't. So I didn't. This year, the red and blue one. The red and blue one, it's got a bit of bloody candy cane, barber's pole feel. About it, I think one of the boys in the WhatsApp chat said it'll look better with full kit on the pitch. I agree with that. I think it will. The home kit, it's okay. I like it more than last season. The away one, I like the predominant yellow. Good for our away kit. Third one, absolutely gorgeous. Definitely be coming in for that. So, yeah. Look, whatever's available in this season's end, when they get on the cheap, if there's three available, I'll buy three.
There we go. Little Aussie Bettler, right? Little Aussie Bettler.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And then what do you think of him? Do you care per se?
Not hugely. You know, home kit's red and blue, which is good. I think, you know, they're good and, you know, not the best we ever had, not the worst, you know. I like that. I do like that. I do like, as Dave was saying, I like the touch from the third kit, and obviously with the announcements as well. I think that's probably the bit that appeals to me a bit more. But at the end of the day, whoever's wearing the shirt with the Palace badge on it, it's the team I'll be supporting. So if they look shit, well, they'll look better next year.
That's it. I mean, it's just a kit. It's just another reason for people to have a meltdown about something. Like, if you don't like it, don't buy it. Who gives a shit? You know, you don't like it, you don't buy it.
This is true.
For a couple of years, as I said, I'll be buying my boys. I'll probably buy the boys a third shirt. I offered the missus one today and she just gave me a look. So I probably won't buy her one, judging by the look she gave me.
The thought that counts.
Exactly. I think it's a present. It's a present. And she was just like, I think it'd probably be the one present that she returned. She would much rather have the money. If I get this with boys the third, I'll probably get myself the away. I mean, I think it's nice. I really like the embroidery they've kind of got in there, like the eagle and Crystal Palace. So, but you know, it's a kit. At the end of the day, we're going to have a new one next year. So don't get too attached. You know, give a toss. Like, there's much bigger things in the world to worry about than a kit launch.
We'll probably only see it 40 times in this season. Done.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Can I just say, Rob, quickly, I just want to agree with Dale. Yeah, I think that was really a fucking class act by the club to get a hold of that 101-year-old fan and get it down on the pitch and have her at the kit launch and stuff. And like you say, it just goes to show, you know, we're a people's club and a real club with real people and owners and people up top that, you know, complete aliens to us. And kudos for that. And then doubling down on the third kit, having the 1861 business. It's still not, I think, officially ratified, but like, fuck it, we'll put it on a kit, eh? And it looks outstanding.
Yeah, take that, Raj, with your foreign ownership
too. Yeah.
One thing that has made me laugh is that some of the comments about Nan Pair were like, Roy wanted to sign her last season to be a defensive midfielder or like to be the holding player up front. He's really pissed off that she's coming this year.
When I first saw it, I thought, oh, Roy's modelling the new kit.
and that's the exact reason why Twitter is the greatest place on earth. Fellas, I don't think we've got time for Aussie chat, really. Not much happening apart from Olympics and the Socceroos and the Olyroos not making it there. So we touched on Australia with Scotty Guyett coming out here and Mark promising us to get him on the next pod.
Yep.
So well done for you. So
I'll get his predictions as well for us.
That's it. So all that's left to say is, well, look, we've got a week till the Chelsea game, a week and a bit. We might as well say, let's get a prediction for the Chelsea game. We might as well, we're here. Ned, what's going to be the score? Quickly, score at Chelsea.
4-0.
4-0, good stuff. Marky Mark.
3-1, Chelsea.
3-1. Dale.
2-0.
It was 4-0 to us, by the way.
Okay, cool. I'm going for 2-1. 2-1 to Chelsea, but a reasonable start. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you very much. I think that was a pretty decent effort by us, as always. So, well done. Well done, us. Get vaccinated. We can get out of this shit, you bastards. And up the pants.
I am going to go and eat a Wheeze.
Have you drunk enough?
No! I even had a fucking thing just early on. I was even going to say, I bet one of my things was they were going to eat a Wheeze bar. I don't believe I missed it.
Mate, always.
I'm distraught.
A Wheeze bar is a freedom, mate.
Before we go, Dale, you're not drunk enough for a racist remark or anything, or we just go?
Hey, when it comes to wine, I can drink this all night, I'm swearing.
And there's our sign-off. All right. Cheers, guys.
Goodbye.